Our Heavenly Father, Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more wilt thou give good things to them that ask thee? And we ask thee this morning thy blessing upon us as a congregation, that we may work a good work, that the gospel may be perpetuated in this city and taken to all the world. We ask thee to bless us as we try in private conversations, in groups, to speak a good word for Jesus, and grant that we may see the fruit of our speaking in the hearts and lives of those with whom we deal. We pray for the services of this congregation and every organization. We pray for our country and the nations of the world. Particularly do we pray for international affairs now that the president has decided to go to China. Oh God, turn the hearts of men everywhere to Jesus, that we may live in peace. For we know that until men recognize that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, there will be no peace. For there is no peace for the wicked. Bless those who've left their homes and loved ones to go to tell people beyond the seas that Jesus is mighty to save. Let the gospel's sweet sound penetrate the thick darkness of unbelief, and bring boys and girls, men and women, to put their trust in the Lord Jesus, whom thou hast appointed to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now hear our prayer and deal with us in rich and great mercy. Forgive all of our sin, we pray thee, and keep us always in thy love, for we ask it for Jesus' sake. And now will you hear the word of God as it is read from the book of Judges, chapter 7, and I'll start reading with verse 9, Judges 7, 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do, when I blow with a trumpet. I and all that were with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta in Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabith. The men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And may our God bless to each one of us this his own holy work. Execute thine office of a prophet, we pray thee, Lord Jesus, in revealing to us by thy word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Amen. When Moses led the children of Israel almost to the promised land, Joshua, his servant, took over. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This is your land, but I want it cleaned up. You'll kill everybody who lives in that land. Get rid of them. They're an iniquitous people, and if you don't look out, you'll begin to take up their evil practices. So get rid of them." And the first conquest they had, you remember, was around Jericho. And the Lord gave them Jericho. And the walls fell down flat, and they went in and exterminated the population. But a man named Achan said, "I don't want to do what the Lord says to do. Here's some gold, and here's some silver, and here's some gorgeous clothing. I'll take them and hide them, and nobody will know." And so Achan took these things and buried them in the ground under his tent. And then the children of Israel went up to Ai to conquer it. And Ai was a village. And Ai whipped the Israelites. And Joshua cried out unto the Lord, "Why have you forsaken us?" And the Lord said, "I haven't forsaken you. There's sin in your camp, and I'm not going to be with you till you get rid of that sin." And so they chose lots, and they found Achan. And they said, "Achan, what have you done?" And Achan told them. So they just took Achan and all of his family out, and they stoned them. They got rid of them. That sounds quite harsh, doesn't it? But it indicates, you see, a tremendous difference between what the people did when they first went into the land and subsequently. Instead of obliterating everybody who dwelt in the land, they got tired. They could do it a little bit better than the Lord said. And so what happened was that the Amalekites and the Philistines and the Midianites would come and wait till the harvest had been gathered, and then they would steal the harvest, and the people wouldn't have anything to eat for a year. And so actually, you see, this man Gideon had to thrash his wheat in a wine press to fool the Midianites, because they never thought of looking for wheat in a wine press. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. And he said, "Thou man of valor, the Lord is with thee." And Gideon said, "How can the Lord be with us when we have to sneak around and hide and the Midianites and the Amalekites come?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Look, why don't the people behave themselves? Your own father has built an altar to Baal, the god of fertility, the god whose worship involved all the worst sort of immorality. Even your own father has built an altar to Baal." Now, The angel of the Lord said to him, "The Lord's chosen you to deliver the people out of the hand of the Midianites." Gideon says, "How do I know?" And as I read this story, you know, it sounds just like people today. You ask a man to teach a Sunday school class, "Oh, I can't. I can't." You ask a lady to go next door and talk to her neighbor about Jesus Christ, "Oh, no. Let somebody else do it, not me," Gideon said. The Lord said, "All right, I'll tell you what you do. You take a sheepskin and you put it out where the dew falls. And everything will be dry around that sheepskin, but the dew will fall on that sheepskin." And so the next morning, Gideon picked up that sheepskin and he wrang a whole bowl full out of water out of it. And Gideon said, "Still, I don't know." And the Lord said, "All right. Tonight, let's reverse it. There'll be dew on everything, but your sheepskin will be dry." And so Gideon took up his sheepskin the next morning. It was dry as tinder, and everything else was heavy with dew. The Lord said, "That, do you believe me?" Gideon said, "All right." So the first thing Gideon did was to go down to his father's house. And he was scared to do it in the daytime, so he went down at night. And he destroyed his father's altar to Baal. And the next morning, the people woke up. And they said to Mr. Joash, "Your son Gideon did this." And Joash, his own father, said, "All right, bring him out. Put him to death." Mind you, Joash and Gideon were members of the chosen people of God. We would say they are members of the church today. I know people are going to say, "Well, we wouldn't do anything like that." Well, I'm not going to try to get into that argument this morning about whether Christians destroy the gospel as they go along. I just bid you look at the situation in the church today and ask, who put it there? So Gideon said, "All right, I tell you why I did it. The Lord has chosen me to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And you send word throughout the tribes, Naphtali and Asher and Manasseh. You tell them to come because we're going to whip the Midianites." And they sent word and 32,000 men showed up. 32,000, when the assembly of the Midianites, the Bible says, was grasshoppers for multitude, like the sand of the sea. The valley was full of them. And here Gideon only had 32,000, and most of them were vine dressers and farmers. They weren't soldiers. And the Lord said this to Gideon, "That's too many." And I can see Gideon. Could I see the way people behave today? 32,000, and look at all that crowd. Oh, I said, "No. No, if I give them the victory, they will say, because we got it. We had 32,000 men, and we got the victory because we were so powerful." And the Lord said to Gideon, "I'm not going to have it then. Got to be by grace. I'm going to give it to you. Send everybody home that doesn't want to fight." Suppose you suggested that today with the draft law. Let's have a purely voluntary army. Send everybody home that doesn't want to fight. And lo and behold, 22,000 went home. Two-thirds of them. Now I can see Gideon. Oh, dear. Two-thirds of my army. What am I going to do? The Lord said, "It's still too many. Too many." Yeah. Take them down by the brook and give them a drink and wash them. All of those who get out on their hands and knees to drink like a doggy you put in one camp, and those who scoop up the water with their hands, you put in another camp. And those who scooped up the water with their hands were 300. You put them in this camp, and the Lord said to Gideon, I'll send everybody else home. And leave me only 300 men? Impossible. So the Lord said, all right, put them in three camps. On three sides of the Midianites. And if you're still afraid, you go down there and look. And so Gideon and his adjutant went down and they listened outside of a tent. And inside the tent, a man was telling another man his dream. He said, you know, I had an awful dream last night. He said, I dreamed there was a barley loaf came rolling down out of the mountain. And it hit my tent. And it smashed my tent flat. A barley loaf. The other man said, you know what that is? That's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The Lord's going to deliver us into Gideon's hands tonight. And so Gideon and his adjutant had heard enough. And this is the way they got their equipment. They didn't have an atom bomb or tanks or high-powered rifles or grenades. Gideon said, every man take a trumpet. And every man take an empty pitcher. And when I light the word, when I give you the word, you light a torch and put in that pitcher. And then when I give the word, everybody give a long blast on the trumpet and break the pitcher and shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That's a strange way to go to war, isn't it? Nobody would think of going to war that way today. The great difference is, you see, that Gideon and his men finally came to understand that the battle is the Lord's, and he will give us the victory. And so what happened? Gideon blew a long blast on his trumpet, and all the trumpets in the three companies blasted, and they broke the pitchers, and here were all the lights. And when the Midianites looked up and saw themselves surrounded by these lights, they started whacking each other to pieces. And they fled. And the Lord saved the people with 300 trumpets and 300 pitchers and torches. Now I've got to quit, because the ladies want to give you something to eat. But what is the lesson? Well, the lesson is simply this. General Montgomery came down to review the 29th Division in England before we crossed the Channel. And he said some very complimentary things. But to introduce his remarks to the 29th Division, he said this. Arise, O Lord, and shine, and let thine enemies be scattered. General Montgomery was quite an earnest Christian. And he believed that if the invasion of the continent was to be a success, the Lord would have to bless. And in front of that 29th Division, he called on the Lord to scatter the enemies in front of the 29th. Yes, lots of our men were killed. We had the fifth highest casualty rate in the American Army. But the Lord gave us the victory. And the Lord gives the victory when his people turn and cry out to him. Is it the sin in my own heart that I need the victory over? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Is it my life that needs to be purified? Jesus came for that purpose, that he might give me the victory. Do we face unbelief in the nations round about us? What's conquered the hearts of men but the gospel It's when boys and girls, men and women have determined that this story of our victory-giving God shall go throughout the world, that men's hearts have been brought to Jesus, because he's been appointed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the forces of darkness and the forces of unbelief must fall before him, before his emissaries. There's no reason for God's people to be threshing their wheat in the winepress, cowering and quivering, because people hate the gospel. Now, the victory is ours, because God has sent his Son to put Satan and death and sin and hell to shame. He has taken captivity captive and given gifts to men. Because we belong to Jesus, there is nothing that can stand before us. Let's stand this week. Our gracious Father, how wonderful it is that we have a Savior who has conquered death and all of our enemies. And we ask thee that thy Spirit may convince us now to put our trust in him, that we may, unafraid and unflinching, unembarrassed and unashamed, stand before the evil forces of this world in the name of Jesus and claim the world for Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all forever.